Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We read from Matthew's Gospel account this morning, chapter 26, verses 57 to 68. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?" So far our text. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the true prophet, priest, and king of all people, dear fellow redeemed, just recently, it was announced that the long-running daytime courtroom show, Judge Judy, would be coming to an end. For many years, record-breaking years at that, Judge Judith Scheindlin has shown up on TV sets for millions to oversee these small claims cases. Now, one can make any number of guesses or claims as to why this particular show is so popular. Perhaps people just have an interest in courtroom activities and want to see what goes on in one. Or perhaps it's that part of us that wants to see people get what's coming to them. Or perhaps it's the fiery attitude of the judge herself. In the account we looked at just now, those reasons fall flat, and it was certainly anything but a small claims case. Any semblance of a proper trial was thrown out the window while Jesus stood before that high priest Caiaphas. Now this was one step closer to Calvary, and the defendant was sinless. Thus he was the least deserving man to take on the punishment that was coming to him. The fiery attitude of the judge, Caiaphas, he didn't display the actions of an honorable judge, but of someone who vaguely knew the law, and he still chose to hold that mockery of a trial. And yet this trial was also one step closer to Calvary. It was one step closer to proper judgment that would be carried out over sin, death, and the devil. The one who seemingly did not deserve to take that punishment would take that punishment. He would be the lamb led to the slaughter. And in this story, we see Caiaphas's injustice and how it played a larger role in carrying out true justice. Now, he didn't know that, but the Lord did. And this morning we're going to look at the just Lord in front of unjust Caiaphas. A little background information on Caiaphas. He was the high priest, and there were two of them at that time, which was a major no-no. But he was the high priest of the Jews at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, a fact that is recorded in Luke's gospel account. In the Bible, he's mentioned there in Luke 3. He's mentioned after the raising of Lazarus, and finally in the account that we see this morning. And while the chief priests and Pharisees sought to put Jesus to death after that miracle of raising Lazarus, Caiaphas prophesied that Jesus would be put to death for many. It's important to note that he prophesied this, but he was an unwilling mouthpiece. He still wanted blood, which leads us to where we are now. And he's seen mostly in the Passion history. After Jesus was briefly interrogated by Annas, the father-in-law, or Caiaphas' father-in-law, the soldiers brought Jesus to him and the other chief priests, elders, and scribes. And thus began one of the biggest farces in courtroom history. The chief priests, the elders, the scribes, they sought any chance that they could to condemn Jesus, and even going to the point of bringing in false witnesses. And even with all of this, they could not reach a satisfactory reason to put Jesus to death. In this crooked court, our Lord remained silent. Anything that he said was going to be used against him in one way or another. It was in good order to remain silent. And so the high priest finally just grasps at whatever he can and demands to hear Jesus say it. He says, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus answered in the affirmative. "I am," he said, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Now here's where Caiaphas pounces on that opportunity that's presented to him. Now as high priest, he would have known all of these prophecies contained in the Old Testament about a Savior that was coming for all people. And of course, he himself prophesied that there was one coming who would die for all. And now, here in this court, he tears his clothes in a display of anger and declared that the Son of God himself was worthy of death. Claiming to be equal to God was a punishable offense by death. And yet that high priest knew the signs anyway. He had seen his Lord before him. There was no reason in the eyes of the law, the higher law, for Jesus to die at all. Caiaphas should have known that, but instead he carried out a great injustice that day. It's easy for us to look back at it and say, well, he should have seen it. There was no excuse for Caiaphas to rule as he did. Yet we also know that while Caiaphas was unjust in that ruling, God would ultimately use that for justice, for true justice. And that really is the point of all of the Passion narrative. Jesus encountered all sorts of trouble throughout his life and ministry on this earth. Even when he was a small child, Herod sought to kill him. And as Good Friday drew near and nearer, the earthly rulers probably felt a good deal of pride in themselves. They had finally caught this most notorious outlaw of all. He did nothing wrong. And it took rash judgments and false judgments to shed the blood that Jesus would so freely give to each of them. No, the just thing to do in a proper court of law would be to set Jesus free. He was the Son of God. He was equal with his Father. He is true God and true man. That was not what was foretold, though. We look back as far as Isaiah, who famously prophesied of the suffering servant in his 53rd chapter. It reads, "He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth." The accuracy of all the Old Testament prophecies is simply astounding. And Jesus was able to fulfill each and every one of them. And it's plain to see in the Old and the New Testaments that Jesus is that servant that Isaiah was talking about, and that he is innocent of any wrongdoing whatsoever. There is no evil in him, yet he took on the sufferings of the world for evil people like you and I. Our iniquities were put on him. We turned our backs to him in sinfulness. And ever since mankind fell in the fall, people have always tried to find ways to separate themselves from the living God of all people. In our natural states, we might not tear our clothes as Caiaphas did, but we might clutch our pearls in anger and faux outrage at everything that we see in the world. And we've seen all the things that go out there, and it disgusts us. How could there be such vile and ruthless people in this world? And when we're done clutching our pearls, we go back to our homes. We go back to our sinful thoughts and actions and all of our pet sins and reprieve. That is the state and mindset of the natural man, the old Adam. Justice for sin would not have seen an innocent man, God himself, die. True justice would see the likes of each and every one of us burning in hellfire for all eternity. Jesus remained quiet when interrogated by the authorities. So, in this last-ditch effort, Caiaphas said, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And by that effort, he got Jesus to admit that he was the Christ, the Son of God. And while that was a last-ditch effort for Caiaphas to get ahead, the proclamation of Jesus in that moment offers even the filthiest of sinners great hope and comfort. Just because Caiaphas was unjust, it did not mean that the Lord was too. It was not a last-ditch effort on God's behalf to eradicate the sin of the world. No, this was something that stretched all the way back to the beginning. The just Lord promised that a Savior was coming when man first sinned in the Garden of Eden. And it was a meticulous plan that spanned years and years, and it involved prophecy and that prophecy being fulfilled. It was a sign for all people in all places. And as Jesus drew near and nearer to the cross, he knew that he was fulfilling these things. He would have to undergo all of the pain and the torment. He would have to face the injustices of this world. And yet he knew in that pain and torment, he would win us peace and joy. He knew that the injustices that he faced would be satisfactory judgment, payment for the sins that we committed. And though it was unjust that he should die for us, it was just in a sense. It was the perfect act of justice being carried out by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we can take great comfort in the words of Jesus to Caiaphas. When told to claim that he was the Son of God, Jesus answered, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And we can take comfort in these words because they show the extent of God's love for us. God himself would hang on the cross and die for our transgressions. He would bear the sufferings that rightfully belong to each of us. And he did all of these things. He did not pass the cup of bitterness to someone else, but he took the whole bitter drink. And we are rescued because of him, because of what he has done and what he has done for us. It was the culmination of everything that had happened up until that point and up until his death. He bore our punishment. And in his resurrection, he would claim victory for all of us. As we continue this Lenten season, bear in mind the numerous injustices that come up, that were carried out. And then also consider how God used each and every one of them to work for good, his plan of salvation. Jesus' work on the cross was justice in the highest sense. Though the earthly courts worked against him in any way they could, he took our case to the highest court of all. He took it to God himself, and he won the case. He did this by keeping the law, by shedding his innocent blood. He died for them that sought to put him to death. And he died for us even while we were still buried in our own sin and dead to it. It was no small claims courtroom scene like you might find in Judge Judy's court. It didn't drag on for years and years to get a spinoff series instead. No, Jesus Christ died once for all. There is justice in him who has taken away the sin of the world, and who will come again, because he has promised that he will, to bring all of us home to be with him. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.